And we are back here for the 9 o'clock hour. Dolphins just kicking off practice. So Mike McDaniel's already spoken to the media, and Dave, sounds like they're swelling in Cater's knee, and they're not exactly sure, which is hard for me to imagine.
I'm sure they know, but they say a week or at least a week or two with Cater.
Okay.
So, but the point being, he didn't come out today and say, "Boy, he had an ACL injury, and we lost."
Right.
It sounds like week to week, which with opener 6 weeks away, you can live with that.
Well, listen, if somebody came out and said it was a little tear in MCL or something, you'd think, okay, these guys are back in 3 or 4
sure.
weeks, man,
yeah.
ready to go. So you hope. The only thing you don't want to hear is ACL. M, good. A, not so good. And get after it. Anyway, yeah.
What was that, Dan Day? Ichiro didn't know the Marlins existed till he signed with them?
He made a joke yesterday during his acceptance speech that he didn't know the team existed until he signed with
them.
He spoke in English, too, which was interesting. He gave his acceptance speech. He was one of them where, if I'm listening to top 10, and he was only here a year, fascinating guy to cover. Talk to him. He
was the greatest Japanese player to ever play in this league, right?
Sure.
But now he's number two.
He would eat 5 or 7 chicken wings a day, and he had a special recipe. It's online. You can look up the Seattle Mariners trainer or dietitian posted it from his time there. He had a special recipe made, and he would eat 5 or 7 of them depending on his weight, because he wanted to weigh, I think it was exactly 175 every day. And he had his whole regimen down
to be that good, that
scientist.
Long. And
it
what
was amazing.
He did. You know what's incredible? He had over 3,000 hits, 3,089 hits in Major League Baseball. He had another 1,200 hits in Japanese professional baseball. And
They'd have 20 Japanese reporters over
here.
Oh,
it's crazy.
Covering them
some
games.
And he was good defensively. He had a cannon for an arm. He that they could hit home runs. It wasn't just a
He would hold the bat to his ear and tap it, and that's how he'd pick it. Now, maybe some of this is nonsense he's playing with, but the fact that he did such stuff was fascinating. As a guy had to write a column, he was a good 3 or 4 column guy a year.
I almost forgot, when they were doing everything on him, did he spend a year with the Marlins. Totally.
Yeah. He was here. Remember, he was here. You had Yarmer Yager with the Panthers, who was another great guy to cover and write columns about.
Took care of himself, man. He played forever. Hell, I think he was 50 still playing somewhere.
I remember he was talking. We were asking him about his training, and he goes, "I tell you what." And he goes, "I'm not going to talk about it." And he walked in, and he went into the training room, and he brought out the head trainer, and he said, "Talk to him." And he talked about unlocking the ice arena at midnight when Yager wanted to work out, and all these workouts he did. And Barkov, in fact, talked about how he still, it rubbed off on him. You talk about, guys learning from each other.
That good.
Yeah.
That good.
But it was good to see Ichiro in the hall. He was a fascinating guy.
What'd you think of that class here, real quickly? Dick Allen. I love Richie Allen. Had about 4 of his cards as a kid. Dave Parker. I got to know a little bit. He played with my cousin in Pittsburgh with the Pirates. Crazy time.
Oh, yeah, the 80s and
there was a
cocaine scandal.
Oh, my cousin's right in the middle of it.
Really?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
You come from a very athletic family,
Joe. I do come from athletic, but my cousin, who's a year older than I am, I grew up with, Rod Scurry, first-round pick for the Pirates. Is when you look up the names
of Rod Scurry. I mean, I
followed the characters.
That's your cousin?
It is.
Wow.
Every day on my mom's side. Yes, sir. So that was you want to hear a great one? So we're playing. It was Dan Marino's first game back in Pittsburgh. I haven't told this story very much, or maybe never. It's okay. My cousin passed away of the same drug that he got addicted to, literally over running up and down the street and. That was it. Collapse, and he died. Really, as a young guy, and so we're playing Pittsburgh, the Steelers, and this Pirates season was still going on. So it was early September. It was a September game, and he was going home to play. I don't remember what week it was. It wasn't week one, but we played the Steelers. And it was the first time he played against the team that didn't draft him, where he grew up. And come to find out, Mr. Rooney really wanted him. And why aren't we taking this guy from Central Catholic, went to Pitt and the whole thing. So anyway, my cousin calls me. We're in town. And he goes, hey, man, they're playing the next day in Pittsburgh. So he says, hey, why don't you come over to the house and have dinner with me and stuff? Oh, man, that'd be great. Wanted to see him and stuff. So it was weird, though. He didn't offer a ride or anything. So I got to, you know, so I jumped in a taxi and got a ride there to his house. And so we're there. I said, and the stuff was out, the investigation and all this stuff. And
this was a big scandal in sports.
Yeah, it's big. And he was... He had been in rehab already, and so he was fighting his own demons, man. So I go to see my cousin, you know, and so he goes, so he's walking around looking out the curtain, and we're talking. I go, hey, well, what's up, man? Give me the latest. What's going on? So he told me about the investigation, and you know, he's telling me all this stuff and what he's going through, who's involved, and other guys on the team and where he was getting stuff from and that guy and the mob. And so the stuff got pretty crazy, like worried about, you know, somebody taking you out. It was that bad. And that's where he was. He was worried. He goes, see outside? And I looked outside and there were some men sitting like a damn movie, sitting in the cars in front of his house or across the street. So I said, well, what's going on, man? I'm here for a frigging game tomorrow. I got to go back for a meeting.
I'm in the middle of a movie.
And he goes, oh, yeah, I got full security right now before I have to go in
front of
him.
Testify?
And testify. And he said, so I was like, dude, you invited me over. I was like.
Now you're in the middle of it.
Well, I'm not in the middle of anything.
Yeah. Well, wow.
Because, you know, I'm sure when I went over there, you know, because I was like, hey, am I okay being here? You know, like, no, you're fine. You know, I told the guys you're going to could be coming over. So this whole thing was crazy.
I remember watching that on TV, the cocaine, Pittsburgh cocaine trial. It went on for weeks.
So I believe the crazy part is I think the mascot was involved. If I tell me about a guy's a friggin' mascot was doing stuff, I was like, geez.
But anyways, Dave Park.
Dave Parker was on that team. I left that part out. Dave Parker's on the team.
And he obviously turned it around.
Yeah, he did.
Now, a month ago, he died.
He died. And he didn't get to see it. Dave, that was his brother.
That's too bad.
So Dave Parker, he's playing out. They're playing the Giants, and I'm in college still. So he came over, and he was looking for stuff. And I go, dude,
What do you mean looking for stuff?
Looking for
drugs?
For stuff.
Okay.
And I was like, dude, And back then we had any money. I didn't have any money in college. I was like, I don't know what.
Talk to me in a couple years.
Yeah. I said, I don't know. Anyway, it was crazy. And he was friends with Dave Parker. And Dave had his own. What a great player, though. What a cannon and a talented guy. Just
huge.
Crazy.
He was a huge player. I mean, yeah. He was like.
You remember the throw he made? Might have been an all-star game from right field through a cannon home, like through a strike. But he had a massive. He was freakish good with that group. But anyway, that was my little background on my.
Well, Rod Sterry, that's interesting. That your family had two players, two leagues.
Yeah, that happens a
NFL.
Lot.
NFL.
No.
It doesn't happen a lot. It happens.
The family, you know, has. But that was a crazy one. So I went there. I ended up getting back late. The only time I was late, I got fined. And then I hurt my shoulder the next day. So it was great. And we won. So Shoes tells me, hey, you don't have to pay the fine. I know you're in pain right now. He was so pumped. I don't know.
You not only were late, but you got caught being late?
No, I didn't get to the meeting.
You didn't get to a meeting. Oh.
9 o'clock meeting came in late and tried to explain it. And then I was like, he didn't want to hear about my life. He don't want to hear about the family thing and all that stuff. Anyway, Danny puts up, I don't know, what was the score, 33-7 or something when he went back. He in his game back, we went on to win like 10 games in a row, the first 10 games of the season. And he comes back on the bus. He goes, hey, you're not getting fined.
Boy, you know Shula's in a good mood when he's rescinding a fine.
I must have tried to tell him what happened, and he at the time didn't want to hear it. But then we won, and he was jacked up.
Everything's good in the world. When
when you go, hey, don't worry about that thing. I know you got a surgery tomorrow. Don't worry about it. You're good. Save the money. Save the money, Joe. Don't worry about that part. Anyway, yeah. From Pittsburgh to the Pirates. By the way, you ought to see Chuck Tanner was the manager at the time, right? Does that sound right? Tanner was the
of the G of the Pirates. Yeah, Pirates. Yeah.
So when I go visit in the off season, stay with my cousin. He always invited me in, so I go in there and they had kegs of beer after the game. So the guys would sit around and sandwiches and kegs back.
How times have changed, huh? There used to be a...
Now it's super shake, super healthy green shakes out there.
There used to be a trash can of beer in the on ice or beer on ice in the press rooms for after you're done. You'd go back and talk and have a beer. And they got... That's long, long...
So,
we're talking many generations ago at this point.
We... I don't know how we did it, but we had the Coors. Always had Coors because Shoes got it. And somehow they got it in here. And it was iced up in bags. With ice in them, so they're good and cold, because he liked his beer cold. And you could get it, and the Southern Eye guy didn't want it. You could go from, I don't know if there was two or three in a package that he had, or you could, somebody else, you could always get extras for trip home for carts.
Well,
those days are done, too.
Shula, one of his, talking about liking cold beer, requirements of the team hotel, his room would be set up. He wanted a video projector, film projector, maybe back in the day, video projector, and then six beers on ice. And then at some point, some people said they'd fill the bathtub up, and he used it as coaches would come into his room and everybody would have. So, but
beer was part of beer and cigarettes. That's the other crazy one. We had a lot of guys, I don't want to say what percentage, maybe half the guys smoked, a third of the guys smoked on the team. I had Bruce Hardy on one side and Don Strock on the other in the locker there for a while. And a secondary smoke, that might cost me 5 or 10 years right there. No, in life. But those guys smoked. And Bruce Hardy never came off the field. That guy did every special teams and snaps. And he was really good. And he smoked a lot of cigarettes. Yeah, we had a lot of guys smoke. And all the coaches smoked. Only guy didn't smoke is Shoes. And, of course, Shoes the last guy to go.
Maybe there's something to that.
Yeah, there was something
cigarette
to that.
Cigarette smoke, huh?
And they come at halftime, and they go over to Don Strock or one of the guys, hey, you got to smoke? Everybody be smoking at halftime. Smoke right out till they went out the door there, and then they flipped it off. And then afterwards, it was like it was Pepsis and beer. There was no little bit of water or Gatorade, of course, during the game. And that was
now it's protein milkshakes,
green. They all get
they
one.
They are green. You know, I'm coming off the Panthers run. That's the most recent games in my mind, and I remember, of course, Brad Marchand and the milkshakes. And he was waiting for a TV interview up in Edmonton. I go, what are you drinking? He goes, milkshake. That's all they called them. They would just call them milkshakes.
Well, he's a Dairy Queen guy. He's a big DQ guy.
He ought to get a nice commercial out of Dairy Queen.
I think
for
he
that.
Did do something up there after they won it all. They had him at DQ to do something. I think you're right. He's a big DQ guy for sure. Anyway, that's why one thing I don't do as a complete fraud on this show is for guys to go out, because my guys like to go out during a week. Not the night before a game, but like to go out after the game. Go out. It was big.
What do you think? They still go out? Still go out. I mean,
but we get on them. Like, you know, now they got to be careful where they go, what they do.
There's the phones out there now that it's a whole different world. Taking pictures.
Didn't have a phone to get back to you, honey. Sorry. Couldn't do it. Hey, I do want to tell you about your South Florida Chevy dealers today, man. Never gets old talking about what's going on at your South Florida Chevy dealers right now in the SUV family. Hey, I don't know if I'm catching you late or not, but if you're getting ready still for that summer vacation, you've decided just to do something 3, 4, 5 days, get away last second, but you need room. You want to do it where the family can really be together, not fight airports and spend all that extra money on delays and try to find a place to park and all that. Well, I call it the South Florida Chevy Summer for you because, man, our SUVs have never looked better than they do right now. From the all-new Equinox to the electric Equinox SUV, plenty of room for family and friends, an unbelievable look, and a real affordable price for you. So if you're starting to look around for a midsize SUV, maybe a 2025 Traverse. One of my favorites, spacious, comfortable seating for everyone, plenty of room for everyone's cargo. You really cover with a great look and plenty of room for you and the whole family. Right over to the Tahoes and Suburbans, the big boys. Boy, I'll tell you what, you're looking for a summer that you can really have something that you can depend on to get you around. It's got plenty of space for you and everything you want to travel with. West Coast, down south to Key West or up north, really doesn't matter. Your South Florida Chevy dealers have got convenient locations all over South Florida for you to make sure you have a great experience and take a test drive. And not only that, but they got outstanding offers going on right now. By the way, while you're at it, check out those Silverado trucks. Can't go wrong. It's never been better than it looks right now and drives at your South Florida Chevy dealers. So the Miami Dolphins got a whole bunch of new faces if you're going to be heading out there over the next few days in the secondary. Well, I'll tell you what, we are wondering who they're going to bring in, and all of a sudden, the news in the last 48 hours, wow. Jack Jones, cornerback from Las Vegas, played with New England before that. 21 starts for him, and he will start. Mike Hilton, slot corner from Cincinnati, played 16 games last year. Actually grades out really well. A lot, 31 years old. He'll start inside right now. Kader Kohou with the injury, a word from the head coach this morning, he's probably going to miss a couple of weeks, and they're still trying to figure out what the swelling is and why, which I'm guessing.
Yeah, well, I'm sure they figured he didn't announce it. He said they're trying to get a handle on it, but at least a week or two.
Yeah. He'll miss. And then, you know, I start to, like you, and the Minka Fitzpatrick rework contract. So I kind of look, you know, Afatu and to me and Minka probably going to start at safety. And they can do a lot of different things. We know Minka's played in the slot when he's here the first time around. And Afatu is also a big athletic guy. And then Cater's going to be out. So all of a sudden, Storm Duck will be playing a lot, who got some starts last year and got some playing time. Jason Marshall, hey, I know how this thing works. The guy actually had a nice play the other day. You know, you get interceptions in practice. He got one, and, of course, Minka also got one, so he'll be in there. But they still got some positions open for guys. Ashton, by the way, Davis, the third corner on the team, safety, excuse me. And then we just got to figure out who's going to be healthy and which corners. I don't think they'll add any more.
Well, if they don't like these guys, they'll keep adding. You know, they'll subtract and add. But it's sort of like, remember Jeff Ireland's line in Hard Knocks about receivers?
Yeah, I think
we got a bunch of 4, 5, and 6s, and we're looking for 1, 2s, and 3s. They're looking for 1, 2s, and 3s with Cater out. They're looking for 1, 2s, 3s, really, to help them out because, you know, it's tryout camp right now. Who's going to look? They all come with questions.
Yeah.
That's why they're unemployed until the Dolphins sign them. And can any of them step up and become some type of answer for them? Really, the pressure's on, in a weird way, Anthony Weaver to come up with some solution for this strategically because he doesn't have a number one cornerback. He might not even have a number two corner. How do you go into a season with that?
Yeah.
Knowing
they're gonna try to go after some of your guys with their – everybody's got good receivers now, or most teams have really good receivers.
Anthony Weaver, the defensive coordinator, I thought he worked magic last week to have the – you know, 10th scoring defense in the league. And
they did it without a lot of sacks. Yep. They did it without a lot of interceptions. He did.
They had, did
he
it did with a really lot of key job. Players hurt and positions out. And
Anthony Weaver did a, yeah. He,
but it's one thing to start a season without a number one quarterback. Even a guy you could say, you know, he could be a number one quarterback. They don't have anybody on the roster like that.
So you can't just play zone. You still have to play man. But there are certain things that he'll try to cover up. And, hey, don't count out playing three safeties a lot.
Right. I'm sure they will.
Ashton Davis.
And Minka, his first year here, I'm sure he played different position. Played a lot of slot.
And he was good. So. Had a couple interceptions and was really good. Made a lot of plays. He did. And hopefully they get that back. But there's a lot of work to be done, man. Like, you know what's funny? I feel good about the defensive line. I do. I'm worried about the depth of the offensive line, which kind of talked about all offseason. And then, hey, Coach Weaver's really good. He's going to earn his money, though, trying to get this secondary all worked out and the health of it. And by the way, at the end, you have some other young guys that could still pop up. And, you know, the upside of those guys versus all the guys on the downside of their career that you've signed. On the cheap at this point.
I thought one of the great lines of Bill Parcells, he said, the toughest decision a coach makes is going with the young player who's not as good right now as some veteran, but if you play him for 6 or 7 weeks, he could be better than the veteran.
Yeah.
And that's going to be the toughest call this year.
That is such a great call. Not because of Big Tuna said it, but it's true. Like, you got to look to see in camp, like, God, he's making plays every day. I think he can play. And
Do you trust that? Do you trust it when you're going against a veteran quarterback?
There's been a trust problem with our young guys here. Not from me. I'm talking about the guy that matters, the coordinator. And I'm sure they have meetings like, hey, can we play him? Do you trust him? How good is he?
But it's not just one defensive coordinator. It was Vic Fangio with a lot of these guys before him, and now Anthony Weaver, and neither of them trusted the young cornerbacks. And now will they? In their many are their third year.
All I know is when we had Fangio, do you remember Ethan Bonner went ahead of Cam Smith?
Yeah.
Hey, what's this about? And Ethan Bonner's back and getting another chance along with – all the other guys we haven't talked about, and there is a bunch of names. I hate leaving guys out. But this will be the Storm Duck. Is he, you know?
He's the guy everybody's looking to, I think, for can he take a big step forward? Because part of it, just out of desperation, they need somebody to. But he showed some signs last year that, maybe there's something here.
I'm going to tell you, though, something. If Cater comes back, don't be surprised if Cater plays outside. Jack Jones plays outside and Mike Hilton plays in slot. And you're going, look at that. Experience wins again.
Well, Cater played some outside last year, too.
He can play outside. He's had to do it a few times through the years, the last few years he's had to do it. Hey, listen, speaking of the Miami Dolphins, and not just that little bit Dave and I have been talking about, Omar Kelly's going to join us. We're going to talk about all the stuff, including Minka Fitzpatrick's a redo of his contract and some of the Tua stuff, as well as the secondary and the offensive line as well. That's all coming up with Omar Kelly from the Miami Herald right after this.